What a cool thing to have January 1st on Sunday, right? And isn't it great that, like, I don't know about, I don't know how many years, I'm going to guess it was 120, 30 years ago, when they first started the tradition of the Rose Parade, they decided then and there that they would never have it on a Sunday, and they still don't. And so nobody had to be conflicted this morning about whether you're going to stay home and watch the Rose Parade and the Rose Bowl or be here. In fact, I love that that's still something that is part of our culture, that a whole culture would stop and say, well, we're not going to do what we normally do because it's a Sunday. And they may not know the reason for that anymore, but the real reason it all started was to honor Jesus and to honor Christ and to keep Sunday Sunday. So it's just great. Usually this Christmas, this Sunday falls after Christmas, falls before the new year. But today we get to kick off the year together, right? And I'm going to tell you something prophetically today. It's going to be an amazing year. Can I say that? I believe the Lord would say to you, it's going to be an amazing year. Some of you didn't have an amazing 2016, but I believe that we can embrace and engage what God has for us this year. Listen, you don't even have in mind the things that God has in mind for you. And the things that you may have in mind, when I say it's going to be an amazing year, maybe none of those things are going to happen. But can I tell you that if God's things in your life happen, it's going to be much greater than anything you have in your mind? So we have small minds. We have small imaginations. God has a much bigger plan. But some of us, I gave that word as I was transitioning, that some of us don't feel worthy. Some of us feel like we messed up in 2016, and how can we start 2017 right? And all you can think about is the brokenness in the past and the mess ups in the past. And you can't have hope for the future as God leads us ahead. Well, Lamentations 3 says something wonderful. How many of you knew there's something great in Lamentations, right? Well, there's something great in the whole Bible because every word is from God. But Lamentations 3 says, 22 and 23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. You got it? Never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Listen, that's an old song I used to sing when I was a real little kid. And I haven't sung it for a long time, but I'm going to sing it, and I'd love it not to be a pastor solo, okay? So if you know the song, sing it with me. If you don't, just let it kind of resonate in your heart. It goes like this. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never will come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. So here's the great thing about that verse. If the steadfast love and mercies of the Lord are new every morning, then this feeling that some of you have of hope at the beginning of a year, when you turn the corner and you turn the calendar, you go, okay, this year's going to be better. And how many of you know sometimes that only lasts like 2 or 3 days, right? But you're like, this is going to be better. It's the first of a new year. It's going to be better. Did you know you can have that feeling every single day of your life? Because his mercies are not just new at the beginning of the year. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I love that. Every year, the Church on the Way has a theme. Excuse me, for the year. It's going to be the theme for our month. This month in January, there's going to be a theme for our sermons. I'm speaking today about it. Pastor Dan next week is going to be sharing about some things. And then the following weeks, I'm going to be speaking again, culminating in our Vision Sunday on January 29th. But the theme of the month is the same thing as the theme of the year. Is the same as the theme of a year. Last year, our theme was, you're not alone. You remember that? Say it with me. You're not alone. And we spent the whole year in different ways expressing this idea that if you were part of us, if you encounter us even, you don't have to be a part of the church, but if you encountered the church on the way, whether in our corporate gatherings or you encountered the people of the church on the way, we wanted our world to know, and we want it to keep knowing, that if you encountered people who knew Jesus, that they would introduce you to Jesus. So when you're with God, you're never alone. But you also don't ever have to be alone with people, because there are people that will surround you and love you. You're not alone. This year, our theme is this: encounter Jesus. Encounter Jesus. Can you say that with me? Encounter Jesus. Listen, I can't think of anything more profound for a church. That our life would be about when we gather together. We're not here to entertain anybody. We're not here to put on a show. We're not here to do a song and dance. We're not here to preach a great sermon. I hope great sermons are preached. I hope worship is effective. I hope that what we do when we're together is good. But the reason we come together is one thing. It's to encounter Jesus. It's to encounter the living Christ. It's to come together and have a true encounter with the God of the universe who revealed himself in the person of Jesus. That's why we come together. Amen? And when people come here, we want them to encounter Jesus. When people encounter the people of the church on the way, we want them to encounter Jesus too. When they see you, they're not just seeing you, they're seeing Jesus Christ in you and through you. And so we're going to talk quite a bit over the next few weeks about how do we encounter Jesus. By the way, we're not just talking about people encountering him for the first time. Do you know that even if you met Jesus 50 years ago, you need to keep encountering him every day? Day after day after day, we're encountering Jesus. We're learning how to plug into his life. We're learning how to know him better, how to deepen in him. And as a church, we want to be known as a people where others can come and encounter Jesus over and over, where we're encountering Jesus over and over in our services, in our relationships. And as we do, Jesus will reveal the Father. He said he'll do that. As we do, Jesus will pour out his Spirit, and the Spirit will remind us of everything that Jesus said. As we encounter Jesus, we encounter the reality of all of who God is, because Jesus was the manifestation and the expression of that. As we learned last month, God with us. God with us. So we're going to learn how to do that in the next few weeks. But today, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about one of the most effective ways that I personally encounter Jesus nearly every day. Not always every day, nearly every day. I want to say not always every day to make sure you know that I miss the mark sometimes. Did you know that? Did you know some of you are scandalized? Your pastor misses the mark sometimes. I miss the mark sometimes. In so many ways, in so many areas, I'm not perfect, including the one I'm about to talk to you about. But as we learn to encounter Jesus, one of the most effective ways that I've ever learned how to encounter Jesus is what I'm about to tell you. And I want to tell you, before I tell you that, I want to tell you this. It sounds a little like Pastor Jack. I got to stop that. Okay. Before I tell you what I'm going to tell you, let me tell you this. What I'm about to say isn't for condemnation. The Bible says that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can I get a strong amen on that? Okay. I'm not standing up here to try to beat you up or to condemn you. What I'm about to say in the next few minutes is an invitation. It's an invitation to you to walk into something that's so beautiful, to walk into a practice that is so impacting, that is so effective, it'll change your life. And far from being condemned when you miss a day, I want you to feel invited that God calls you back into a day. What I'm talking about is that every day that I don't miss the mark, I sit down at some point and I open up my Bible and I read the Word of God. And I encounter the living Christ in the Word. John 1 says that Jesus was the Word of God. He is the living Word, and what we have in this written Word points us always right back to the reality of the Word that was spoken in eternity, Jesus Christ. So we learn how to engage God, how to encounter Jesus as we learn how to encounter the Word of God. In fact, there's a motto that I have for my life that I try to live is this. You've heard me say it before. I'm going to say it again. You can remember it. I really want a word from God, from the Word of God, every day. Can you say that with me? A word from God, from the Word of God, every day. God is speaking to us now. But we need a plan. Because how many of you know that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, right? We've heard that attributed to Ben Franklin and Winston Churchill. Quoted Ben Franklin, and a whole lot of people have said it. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I don't know about you, but I have some plans for 2017. Anybody have any? I call them plans. You might call them New Year's resolutions. I stopped calling them that a long time ago for various reasons. Now they're plans. Let me pick one that you may have that I think this would be probably 60% of our church might have this plan, okay? I have a plan. You're saying this. I have a plan to lose 25 pounds in 2017. Just everybody close your eyes and bow your heads. How many of you would identify with that, on that plan? Come forward. I have a plan to lose 25 pounds in 2017. We can all start the year with this great plan. I've got a plan to do this. It's going to be great. Do you know that if you get to December 31st, 2017, but you didn't actually have a plan to follow through on, that your plan to lose 25 pounds by the end of the year will not have happened? Nobody at the end of the year is going to stand on the scale and go, wow, look, at the beginning of the year, I said I was going to lose 25 pounds. It just happened. I lost it. Do you know nobody's going to do that, right? In fact, if that happens, something's probably wrong with you. You've got to have a plan. I didn't mean that funny. I meant like maybe you're sick or something like that. You've got to have a plan in order to accomplish something. Because if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. Greg Groeschel is the pastor of Life Church, said this. I read this the other day. He wrote, he tweeted this out. If you don't have a predetermined plan to grow more intimate with God, chances are you're not going to grow closer to God. Can I say that again? If you don't have a predetermined plan to grow more intimate with God, chances are you're not going to grow closer to God. Make a plan. I don't know about you, but I want to become close and intimate with God. By the end of 17, I want to be able to say I'm more of a man of God now than I was last year. I want to say that. I want you to be able to say I'm more of a man of God or a woman of God now. I know God better. I've engaged life with Him. I've learned His word. I really believe that's a part of what God calls us to do. Part of my plan is getting into His word. There's other things I do too. In my practice, the three mountains of our church when we get together: worship, the word, and prayer. But I don't want it to just be a Sunday morning thing. I don't want it to just be 11 to 12:30 kind of thing. I want worship, the word, and prayer, something that we do day after day after day after day. Some of us worship really well. We love singing songs. We love worshiping the Lord. Some of us are good at praying. Some of us maybe are really faithful in our Bible reading. I think that's something that God's calling us to do, all three of. But I want to talk about reading our Bibles. I want to talk about getting involved in the Word of God. Part of my plan that I want to share with you involves writing. Because I've heard that if the three most emotional words in the English language are, I love you, and they really are emotional. In fact, let's try it out. Just say it as sappy as you possibly can. Ready? Let's say it together. I love you. Didn't you just feel good saying that? Just give you the warm fuzzies. I love you. Okay, if the English language three most emotional words are I love you, then the three most practical words, maybe you've heard me say this, are write it down. That's practical. My wife regularly will send me to the store, or not even send me. I'm just going out and I'll say, is there anything I can get for you? And she said, yeah, I'd love for you to get, you know, a gallon of milk and some eggs and some avocados and some bread, right? How easy is that? And when I get to the store, somehow I forgot. And I'm like, and I get like half, I got the gallon of milk and the bread, but I forget everything else. And I can't tell you how many times I've come home thinking I've conquered. I'm living in victory with the gallon of milk and the bread. And I walk in and I'm all excited that I remember to stop at the store and get the gallon of milk and the bread. And she's always very gracious. Thanks for getting the gallon of milk and the bread. Where are the avocados? This face happens a lot in my house. Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot. And so thank God for text messaging. She texts me, get the, and so there's a list. It's written down. It's very practical. When I want to spend time with the Lord, see, I go through the day with a sense of His presence. I want to, every day, my hope and my heart and my desire and my target is that there isn't a moment that goes by that I'm not aware of the presence of God in my life. But some people say, well, that's how I live, with the awareness of the presence of God. That's my devotional time. And I think there's something missing. Even though there's something wonderful about having an awareness of God's presence all of the time, I believe that we have to stop doing everything else we're doing and focus in on God. and focus in on the Lord and focus in on the Word. Let me share three parts of my plan with you. First of all, I plan to pause. I plan to pause. Some of you may remember that when we first became the pastors of the church, that first summer, we had a summer we called pause. For some of you, it's painful because we just stopped doing everything. All we did was Sunday mornings. Everything else we shut down because we felt like the Lord was saying, figure out what it is I'm telling you to keep doing and don't just keep unthinkingly, just keep doing what you've always been doing. We paused. Now, we're not planning on going back to pause again as a church, although, can I promise you this, anytime the Lord calls us to pause, we're going to pause. If the Lord tells us again, you may remember we even had a few Sundays where we didn't have a worship team. We just sang without music instruments. We just sang to the Lord. We pressed into Him. If the Lord tells us to do that, we will obey. Because that's the kind of church we are. Isn't that good? I want to be that kind of church. I want to listen to the Lord's voice. But I want to learn how to pause personally, not just once a season, not just once a year, not just once every few years, but every day to pause. When we were in this time of pause as a church, and there were a lot of complaints, and people were struggling and frustrated and didn't know what was going on, I had a very wise elder come up to me at one point and say, you know, I realize what pause is all about. And I said, please tell me so I can tell everybody, okay? What's pause all about? And it was actually after we were done with pause and he was reflecting on what we had done. He said, if you have a fan in your house and it's spinning around and something is off alignment and off kilter and it looks like something's wrong in the fan and you want to fix it, what's the first thing that you do? Thank you. Turn it off. Does anybody know that if you try to fix a fan while it's moving, that's a really bad idea? Here's what happens. Our lives are lived at such frantic pace in 2017. We're always going. We're always texting. We're always looking at something. We're always distracted by something. We're always, always, always moving. And even if you're moving with the sense of the presence of God in your life, there's just something so important about stopping and giving your full attention to the Lord. And giving your full attention to the Lord. Now, we got people that will say, Pastor Tim, that's great because you're a pastor. And, you know, you only work one day a week on Sundays, so you can pause all you want. It's not true. You can pause all you want. And I'm busy. And I really have empathy because there are some people that literally, they'll have two or three jobs. And you're running from one thing to another. And so, you know, where I would tell a lot of people, well, you can find a half hour with the Lord a day if you just give up the TV show. You know, maybe you're watching three or four TV shows. Give one up. Figure out which TV show you watch is really stupid anyway and just give it up, okay? Because I guarantee some of you could give up a TV show, okay? Some of you could maybe take a time on your lunch break and be with the Lord. Some of you, you learn how to get up a little bit earlier than you've ever gotten up. Some of you, redeem your commute time. Some people do that. This is going to be a hard one. I know that the knife's going to hurt when I say this. Some of you could quit Facebook. Because what you say is, I'm only on Facebook 15 minutes a day, but the reality is it's like 2 hours, right? Because Facebook time just unexplicitly, exponentially multiplies. And so, but here's the reality. Maybe you don't do any of those things because you're so busy in your life and you're so crazy that you can't pause, you can't stop to be with the Lord. I'm gonna tell you something that I truly believe at the bottom of my heart. If you're so busy and you're so pressed and you're so distracted that you can't spend 30 minutes with the Lord in a day, I want to ask you to ask God to miraculously give you time. I think He will. I think if you, with all of your heart, with the right heart, you come before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what to give up. I'm not doing anything extra. I don't have any time. I literally, truly don't have it. I need to multiply my time. Here's what He'll do. He'll call you to spend that time with Him. I'm using a half an hour as just a for instance. Maybe for you, it's 15 minutes. Maybe for some of you, you're being called to an hour. I don't know. I'm not here to dictate time to you. But you take the time with the Lord and say, I know I don't have it, but I'm going to give it to Him anyway. And here's where I think the miracle's going to happen. As you give Him the time that you know you don't have, He will multiply the time you don't have. I believe that with all of my heart. It's the same principle as Sabbath. We take a day and we set it aside as holy to the Lord. And we're not working and we're not trying to produce something with our own hands. The Lord, I believe, will allow us to do more in 6 days than we could do with seven. It's like tithing. We take 10% and we make it holy. We set it aside as holy to the Lord. And we go, Lord, how can I live on the 90%? But I believe he'll multiply that and allow us to have more than we would have if we had used the 100%. I think spending time with the Lord daily is that kind of principle. And so we need to pause. Plan to pause. Number two, plan to pursue. Plan to press in. This last year, I've been using a reading plan for a long time called the Life Journal Reading Plan for probably 15 years. And after doing the same reading plan over and over and over again, you just get used to the kind of the sequences and you know what you're going to read and it starts becoming rote to you. And that's when it's time to get a new reading plan. So this last year, me and my best friend, John Phelan, we spent some time together and we actually came up with a reading plan. This reading plan, if you read, there's two sections of it. The easier section, and some of our kids will pursue, or some people that are just getting into Bible reading will take you all the way through the New Testament and the Psalms, one chapter a day, all the way through the year. The plan, if you add all of the rest of the Old Testament, which I suggest and I do, will take you through the whole Bible in a whole year. And that is something that we put together in this journal called Pause. And this year, I'm inviting you into it. I'm inviting you into it. And so to do that, listen, I'm not selling this. I'm not making money on it. In fact, we're going to give it to you as a gift because the Word of God is so important to our church that if I'm going to encourage you to read the Word of God, I want to give you a tool to help you do that. Because I believe that if we were all reading the Word of God every day, our church would change radically, drastically. And so as you leave today, you're going to get this book. It's just a pause journal. There's nothing written in it except for the first few pages. Kind of takes you through. Maybe if you don't know already how to read the Bible and how to approach it, it helps you figure that stuff out. But if you already have a plan you follow, I'm not saying you got to stop that plan and follow this if you're part of the church on the way. Follow whatever plan you already have. But if you don't have a plan, you're planning to fail. I want to give you a plan. And if you have a plan that you're ready to kind of switch into a new plan, why don't you pick this up? Because we're going to be reading it together. I'll reference it in sermons. I'll say, hey, last week when we read such and such a verse, this is where we are. We can not only grow individually, but we can grow corporately. I want you to plan to pause. I want you to plan to pursue the Lord with a plan. And I want you to plan to pray. I'm going to talk in a couple of weeks about how to incorporate your Bible reading time and prayer time together because I believe that our time with the Lord needs to be full orbed. We're not just reading words on a page, but we're reading as a part of praying to the Lord. We're giving our hearts to the Lord. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Now, remember, some of you already, as I'm talking about spending time with the Lord, you're feeling condemned. Please tell somebody next to you right now, stop feeling condemned, okay? I want you to condemn the person next to you because they're feeling condemned, okay? No, this is an invitation into something that'll change your life. This is an invitation and some tools that I'm giving into something that'll change your life. I really believe that. So as I'm reading the Bible, I'm not just reading words on a page, but I'm learning how to pray through journaling. This is why the plan, we also have the plan on our website. You can get it through the church. If you already have you like a different kind of journal, you don't like this one, that's fine. If you want to read the plan, you can do that and write in your own Moleskine or something like that. But the reason I'm giving you a journal with the plan is because writing it down is some of the most practical things you can do. I don't know about you, but because I forget when to pick up the avocados, there are times when the Lord speaks stuff to my heart and I forget about that. And I know the Lord spoke something to me, but it was a week ago or it was a month ago, and I can't remember. But if I've written it down in my journal, I can go back to the place I wrote it down and say, this is what the Lord said to me. And I need to remember that today. I think writing our prayers and our thoughts and our interaction with the Word of God down is part of how I pray. It's not the only way, but it's part of it. So just really quickly, before you read the Scripture, if you're going to read the plan, before you read the Scripture, ask the Lord to open up your heart and your mind and to speak to you. And then slow down and don't just read because you got to get it done and check off the box, but really read and say, Lord, what are you speaking to me today? So there's three things that I do when I'm journaling. First, I read. So today in the reading plan and pause, it has Luke 1 and Genesis 1 and 2. And as I was reading Luke 1 and I was saying, Lord, what would you speak to me today? He spoke a couple of things to me. By the way, the whole Word of God is the Word of God. And all of it is useful. All of it is good. All of it is righteous. All of it is authoritative. All of it is inerrant. All of it is very important. But as you're reading, because I've read Luke 1 probably, 300 times in my life. So as you're reading it, sometimes you see different things than you would see other times. Sometimes your spirit comes alive as you're reading through. And you go, I wonder what the Lord's trying to tell me here. So as I'm reading through Luke 1 this morning, early, I read Luke 1:37. And the angel was talking to Mary and said, for no word from God will ever fail. Wow. For no word from God will ever fail. You know what he was saying that to? A young girl who was a virgin who'd never been with a man who was going to end up getting pregnant. And he'd also spoken that about Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, who was way too old to have a baby. It was way too past baby bearing time, right? They'd been praying for a baby for years and years and decades, and it wasn't happening. And then there's Mary, who I guarantee you was not praying for a baby yet because she was not married yet. And you've got the angels saying both to Elizabeth, who it was far too long past her prayer to be answered, and to Mary, who hadn't even started praying for something yet. No word from God will ever fail. It doesn't matter if it feels like it's way too late or it's way too early. God's word is supreme. God's going to take care of what he says he's going to do. And she said, I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be unto me as you have said. And I just said, Lord, I'm your servant. What is it that you've spoken to me that I've given up on? What is it that you've spoken to me that I haven't even heard yet? And I want to listen to you. I also read Luke 1:17, John the Baptist was going to be called as the prophecy of his birth came to his father. It was told that he would be a person who would make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And as I wrote that down and I encountered that in my heart and engaged with it, I said, Lord, that's the call of the church on the way, is that we would be a church that makes ready a people prepared for the Lord. That we would be a church that makes people prepared. If we want people to encounter Jesus, listen, I can't force an encounter with Jesus, but I can certainly set it up. I can make the road clear. I can introduce somebody. And as they encounter Jesus, their world can change and will change. So I read that and it spoke to my heart. So we read our scripture and then we reflect. What's God saying? What's he saying to me now? What was he saying then? Because we don't get to just read into the Bible whatever we want to read into the Bible. The Lord said something specific when he spoke the word, and we figure out what that was, and it's how he speaks to us today. And so sometimes we need to do a little bit of study. We need to dig in. And there's some great study tools online. As you're reading the Bible, you may want to be familiar with a place like BibleGateway.com that has all kinds of free commentaries and study tools. If you're reading a verse and you go, I don't really know what this means, don't just make up something that you think it means. We get in trouble sometimes with that. Figure out what it means. Take some time and press in. Reflect on what the Lord said then and what he might be saying to you now, and then respond. What will I do about it? How can I take what God's just said to me and live it out today in my life? Jesus said that a wise person builds their house on a rock, because when the storms and the wind and the rain comes, that house will be battered and beaten, but it's not going to fall down. It's going to stand strong, right? And he says, that wise person is like a person that listens to my words and does what I say. But the foolish person is the one that listens to my words, that hears what I say and doesn't do what I say. And they're going to build a house on the sand. And when the storms of life come, the house is going to be flattened. Now, the difference between those two people wasn't whether they heard the Lord or not, wasn't whether they read the word or not, wasn't whether they heard Jesus speak. The difference was, did they do what he said? Did they respond? So I always, at the end of my journaling, will write, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What's the application? How do I follow through? What are you asking me to do? How are you asking me to change? And I don't really stop there. Sometimes I write a little bit. Sometimes I write pages and pages. Often it's really scattered and illegible, and nobody could ever, ever read it. If you got a hold of my journal, I'm not afraid, because you can't read my writing. I could put all kinds of stuff in here. You're not going to read it. And that's okay, because this is not meant to be published someday. I'm not writing this with an eye to, oh, someday somebody's going to care about my personal relationship with the Lord. I may tell Deborah to burn them after I'm dead. I don't know. It's not for other people. It's between me and Jesus. It's between me and the Lord. But it really helps me. Journaling helps me keep a record of what God is saying to me, because I'm a normal human being, just like you are, and we forget things too often. But I have to say this. If our whole church was doing this, if our whole church was reading God's word and praying God's word and journaling and obeying and listening, If all, there's about 3,000 people who call the church on the way home. If all 3,000 of us were reading the word every day, listening to the voice of the Lord, writing it down and responding, I guarantee you that our church would change. More than that, I guarantee you that our city would change. I guarantee you that our world will change. And I guarantee you that you would change. That's why I'm doing this. This is a very simple message. It's a very simple sermon this morning. As we simply approach 2017, I want us to get into the Word of God this year like we've never got into the Word. We always preach the Word from the front. We always look at the Bible. We always see what the Lord is speaking to us. But I don't want it to just be a 1 hour a week kind of thing for us, church. I want us to become a people of the Word of God. Amen? That we can become people. And again, this is not for you to be condemned or feel condemned if that's not what you're doing or how you're living, but it's an invitation into something that will absolutely change you. So the rest of the month, I want to share about how we encounter Jesus, but we're going to start this morning in the next half an hour by encountering him together. Can I ask you, nobody leave over the next half hour? You may feel like, oh, we're kind of running to the end, and we're going to have probably a 10 or 15 minute time where there's music going on and you're going to be doing other things. It would be easy to say, yeah, let me beat the traffic and get up and get out of here. I believe the Lord wants to do something so significant in you in this next half hour. It would be remiss for me as a leader not to say, hey, stick around. Because God's doing something. Here's what we're going to do. Three things. First of all, we're going to come to the Lord alone. Those papers that you have on your chair and the pens, those are for you to write a letter. Really, it's a prayer. It's the way I've been talking about. How do we interact with the Lord? How do we pray? How do we say, Lord, this is what 2017, and my hopes and my dreams and my prayers for this year. This is what I'd like to see happen. This is what I'm asking of you for myself or for my world even. This is how I'd like to see change in me. And you're going to write a letter, and then you're going to fold it up, and you're going to put it in an envelope, and you're going to lick that envelope and seal it, and nobody's going to open it. Nobody will open it. You're going to write your own address on the front of it and your own name. And then we're going to hide it somewhere really good, but somewhere not so good that we can't find it. And in about 4 or 5 months, when you least expect it, we're going to get out all of the letters, and we're going to put stamps on them, and we're going to put them in the mail. And then one day you're going to go to your mailbox and you're going to pull out a stack of paper and you're going to go, bill, bill, junk mail, bill, bill, junk mail. And what is this personal letter to me? And that handwriting looks really familiar. And you're going to realize it's you. And it's going to remind you of what you were praying for, what you were hoping for at the beginning of this year. I want you to spend some time in prayer reflecting before the Lord. And then please write your address on it. Last year we had a bunch of people write the church address on it. That didn't help get it to you. Write your own address on it. That's good. And then when we're all done and dismissed, then we're going to have baskets at the exits that you can put them in. Secondly, when you're done writing, or frankly, whenever you want, maybe before you write, maybe for you, it's important that you start by going to the table, by going to communion, and then you come back and write your reflection. Or maybe you write the reflection first and then you go to the table. We're going to go and approach the bread and the cup representing Jesus' body that was broken for us and his blood that was spilled for us. Because all of our resource, everything we need for 2017, everything we need for our whole life, for eternity, was purchased for us on the cross. We're going to remember that. Remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. As we're praying, as we're seeking the Lord, we're going to say, Lord, this is where the answer comes. This is where we have to come back to, is the cross and your resurrection. And we want to remember that together. Then, when you're done receiving communion, and when you're done writing your letter, if there's still some time, look around. See if somebody else has done too, and go find them and say, hey, let's pray together. And maybe you can seal between your prayers what the Lord has done in your heart. Maybe you can pray together for the things that you're hopeful for this next year. But we'll bring it back together with a song, and we got a couple more things to do before we're out of here. But I believe that if you would be faithful to receive communion, to go to the table of the Lord, to write your prayer out, and to allow your heart to be ready for what this year is going to happen, giving the next half an hour to the Lord that way, it'll change your life.